jealousy shattered, you see whole. I see broken, but you see beautiful. And you're helping me to believe. You're restoring me piece by piece. There's nothing too dirty that you can make worthy. You wash me in mercy, and I am clean. There's nothing too dirty that you can make worthy. You wash me in mercy, and I am clean. Oh, oh, oh. What was dead now lives again. My heart's beating inside my chest. Oh, and I'm coming alive with joy and destiny. Oh, oh, oh. 'Cause you're restoring me piece by piece. Oh, there's nothing too dirty that you can make worthy. You wash me in mercy, and I am clean. Oh yes, there's nothing too dirty that you can make worthy. You wash me in mercy, and I am clean. Washed in the blood of your sacrifice, your blood flowed red and made me white. My dirty rags are purified, I am clean. Washed in the blood of your sacrifice, your blood flowed red and made me white. My dirty rags are purified, washed in the blood of your sacrifice. Your blood flowed red and made me white. My dirty rags are purified, I am clean. Oh, I'm clean, I am clean. Oh, you make me, oh, you wash me. You wash me, you love me, you make me clean.
I just want to thank God for these precious brethren and his daughters. They are such an inspiration to me. Y'all have no idea. It's the way I am. They're just such an inspiration, such a blessing. And I thank God for them.
Amen.
You too. Thank you. Let's all stand. It's time to hear the word. Amen. Glory. Open the eyes of my heart. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of
Good to be in the house of the Lord in the middle of the week. And just pray that something said tonight will be encouraging to you and help you out. And just remember, remember we'll be traveling this weekend. We'll be going down to Beaufort. And just remember us in prayer that this weekend will be helpful and edifying and good. And that God will be in it. Now, tonight, I just want to speak to you from Hebrews 11. And read also a scripture from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And just take just a little topic that just to think on and meditate on that I am nothing without Jesus. None of us are nothing without Jesus. Lord God, we're so grateful to be able to gather together tonight and look into your word, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you'll just strengthen us tonight. You know all the different needs and things that people have, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, that you'll speak something, Lord, that just... that we welcome you tonight, Lord, that the people will be encouraged that you'll help us along life's way. Grant it, Lord, now in your name. Amen. Amen. So Hebrews 11, we'll start at verse 32. And it says, Paul's kind of finishing up. You know, we've been studying Hebrews 11 in Sunday school. And Paul's kind of finishing up his summary of the roll call of all these, his great cloud of witnesses. And he says, and what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and of Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed violent in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us. Now here's the clincher. That they without us should not be made perfect. And then if we'll skip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And Paul's just kind of laying out for us that he had that thorn in the flesh that God had given him, lest he become exalted beyond measure. And he said, and God, he prayed and God kept removing it. And then it come back. He kept removing it, come back. And he said, finally, he got his answer from the Lord. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You may be seated. The Lord has blessing to the reading of the word. Now, see, you... I think, you know, Brother Branham and Paul and all these things when we study out and really try to express to us, like Paul's doing here in this 2 Corinthians chapter 12, that that, you know, really the place that God wants us to get to is a place where we realize that we're insufficient, that within our own self, that we just can't do it. It won't work right with our own abilities, right, with our own thinking, with our own mindset. It won't work right. And you see, when God begins to, when you look at all these stories in Hebrews 11, as you look back through all these people's lives and the things that they accomplished, how will you subdue a kingdom in your own self with your own abilities? How are you gonna work righteousness? How would Abraham deliver his child, or how would Abraham be the father of nations within his own self, seeing that he was not able to bear forth children? How would Daniel stop the mouth of a lion within his own self, with his own? There's nothing within his own capacity. And you see, when we begin to realize within ourselves that we're insufficient, we just can't do it, then you see that's when God is able to come on the scene and be able to work something, be able to do something within you, be able to use you. And so you read the summation of all that Hebrews 11, that God has provided something better for us, that they without us should be made perfect. And Brother Branham, I think we use this scripture to explain to us that God was trying to, every generation, we can keep looking back to the previous generation and say, well, they actually need us. That previous generation needs us, and it just keeps building up because what? Because God is bringing, he's bringing his church up, and he's bringing the individual up. He's bringing all of us up together to a place of perfection, because he's molding us by his word into a place where God can get us exactly where he wants us to be. What is perfection? Perfection is completeness, whole and fully developed. In other words, in the Bible language, totally righteous, where to a place where God can, or the devil can look at you and inspect you over and can't find anywhere where he can deal with you in that spirit realm, anywhere where he can come in and tell you something that's contrary to God's word and you believe it. Get you to a place where the devil can't do anything with you.
Amen.
Oh, you see, that's what God wants us to be like.
Right.
God's plan, but you see, God's plan now is to take something, and this maybe sometimes boggles our mind, that God's plan is to take something that's imperfect and make it perfect.
Absolutely.
Oh, we sometimes fail to realize that God actually wants us to realize that we're imperfect,
right,
that there's to realize our flaws.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes, you know, the minister's sitting back there in the study, and we, you know, we study and study and study. And sometimes you can get to maybe a place, a little spot where you think, boy, I've studied, I'm ready now. But you see, God don't want us to get, he don't want none of us to get to a place where we think in any part of our journey that we've got to a place where that's good enough. Oh, we always, what God wants us to do is he wants us to rely completely upon him for everything that we have need of. He wants us to realize that we are insufficient in our own self, within our own thinking. We're insufficient. We're insufficient to please God within our own self. We need, how can we even please God with our own puny faith? We needed God to give us the baptism of the Holy Ghost and give us his faith so we could believe right. Oh, we can't even believe right without him. We can't walk right. We can't do nothing right with it without him. Everything that we are and everything we ever hope to be depends on him. And God's plan is to take somebody that's so imperfect. You see, that's why God, right after God took him up to the third heaven and he come back with all this revelation and all this insight and things, and yet he turns around and says that God gave him allow the devil to put that thorn in the flesh on him. Why? Because God wanted to get him to a place and mold him down into a place where he could use him. I think sometimes maybe after, and Brother Brown would even say this, he'd say, you're talking about thorn in the flesh, you see, sometimes after a man is really used of God in the pulpit, his wife the next day just needs to back off and let him sleep or whatever, because God wants to, maybe right after he done preached a good prayer line service or something, the very next day God will just let him realize his imperfection, let him realize, and maybe toss and turn all the next day, wondering if things were said too harshly and wondering if things were said right or whatever. Because what God wants to get a man down so low until he realizes he's insufficient, that he needs God. And oh, that's when God can really begin to do something in your life. And you see, Brother Brown said in the message, perfect strength. that's my perfect weakness. He said, oh, God's strategy is to take empty human vessels and shake the world with them. Oh, you think about that. That's what he did on the day of Pentecost. He got a group of men until they got to a place where they realized that they were insufficient with their own self, and they just began to empty out. And then God could finally come on the scene and fill them. At Pentecost, what did he do? He said it had taken them 10 days to get all emptied up. But they was all standing there with their vessels turned up, and God took himself and filled them up. That's all. They shook the world. How did he fill them up? When they realized that they were insufficient. Realized that they were insufficient to preach the message. Realized that they were insufficient to know how to baptize somebody. Insufficient to do anything for God. Oh, when you realize that you're insufficient, that's when God can come on the scene. Oh, you see, it ain't our contribution that makes us perfect. It ain't what we put into it that makes us perfect. That ain't our own works, what we work up, our contribution to the church. It's what, when we rely on God to do something. God got to get us out of the way so he can do something so many times. God can hardly do anything with somebody that thinks that they can do it. Oh, you know, when you think how big you are and how great you are, and my, what a great preacher I am, or what a great deacon are, or whatever your role is in the church, then that's when things get out of cater. Because God can't, now this is what Brother Brown said, God can't do nothing with somebody that thinks that they can do it. When man gets himself in the way, it just messes everything up. When you get yourself in the way, it'll mess up your relationship with your children, trying to get them to the Lord. It'll mess up your relationship with your spouse. When you get people that you're trying to call to the Lord, it'll just mess everything up when you get yourself in the way. But if we can realize that it takes the supernatural God to work something, it takes something beyond our own ability. Oh, you look back through Hebrews 11 and you can see in every one of these cases that God come on the scene and a way that was far surpassed anything that any of them could ever do. So Abel coming up with his little sacrifice, and then God come on the scene in a supernatural way. Noah doing, coming up building the ark, and then God come on the scene in a supernatural way and sealed him in the ark. It takes a supernatural God. I believe tonight in a supernatural God. I believe in God coming on the scene and doing something, a miracle. If we'll let him, if we'll allow him to have preeminence in our life. And we can get so low that we don't really rise up above the dust, but we let God do something in our lives. Amen. We fail to realize sometimes that God wants us to come empty. He wants us to empty out of ourselves. He wants us to not come all filled up with all of our ideas and our own thoughts about the way things should go in church or the way things should go in somebody else's life. But he wants us to be humble. He wants us to get real little. That's what I want to do tonight. I want to find out how little I can get. God wants us to realize how much we need him. God wants us, he wants somebody to recognize their weakness. Oh, when you recognize your weakness, that's when God can use you. Brother Bram told this little story of going down to a little sister's home in Kentucky. He said, messages, and she started listening to them in her home. Brother Brown paid a little bit down there and to where she lived, and she said I'd like to speak to you, and she invited him over to her home. And Brother Brown said, I went into a home just a little before that. I was standing on the outside, and the lady said, I'd like to speak to that minister. And I went into their little home, and she said, are you Brother Brown? And I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, I'm so ashamed of the looks of my house. And she said, ask you. Have such a need, and I got real confidence in you. Now, you see, that's the kind of person that get real little. That's the kind of person that God can come in and do something in their home. And she got so, but you see, Brother Ram's trying to express on the opposite side of it. We think we ain't worth nothing, and we'll get to a place where we'll make our weakness an excuse.
But he's trying to express to us that the weak, your weakness is what God can use. When you're weak and you can't do nothing, that's good. That's a good thing. If you just realize it, if us ministers will realize when we get weak and we ain't got nothing to preach, we ain't got nothing to say, that's when God can use us. When you ain't got nothing in your notes, that's when God will come on the scene and can do something. If us parents can realize we're beyond all hope within our own selves to do nothing with our children, that's when you could turn to God and the darkest hour and say, God, I need you to come on the scene. And he said, I looked around in this home, a little humble home, about like I was raised in, but the wall was full of pictures of Christ. There laid a Bible on the table. I said, I never any more honor in my life. This is the kind of home I like to walk into. She asked a request for somebody, and 5 hours from the time that we prayed together, this little grandmother and I prayed together, God had answered.
Amen.
Oh, that's the kind of home, that's the kind of person, that's the kind of attitude that God can use.
Amen.
Somebody that don't think they're nothing, that they realize they're inadequate. And God, Brother Brown said that she got what she was asking. And if you'll come tonight with that kind of an attitude, God, I need something from you. I can't do it within myself. You'll find out that you'll get your request. You'll find out that God will come on the scene just like he did for this little grandma. What kind of a little grandma would pictures of Christ on her wall and a Bible laying on her table, but she didn't have nothing to boast of, no worldly fame or not a lot of money, nothing to boast of and brag about, but that's the kind of home that God came into. He said, we try to make our weaknesses excuses. We want to tell how big we are, how great we are. I think that's one of the things that God, he said, God gave me the text for, was to get that out of our mind. Oh, if we can get out of our mind that we need to be big, that we need to be a big shot or somebody great that somebody can look up to. I tell you, isn't it funny that as we preach going up in the stature of a perfect man, that you'll find you go up faster if you can go down in your humility and your littleness. As you go down and go down, you go up, go down with yourself and die out to yourself. And as you can get out, the more you can get yourself out of the way, the more Christ can express himself. Oh, that's what I want tonight. I want to get myself so out of the way that God can use me. I want to get myself so out of the way that you don't see Bob Black anymore. I want to get myself so out of the way that others see Christ. I want to die to myself. I want to die to my own attitude, my own thoughts, and everything that makes up who I am. I want to die to my own politics and die to my own background until there's nothing left but Christ. Why? Because God can deal with the lowly. That's who God deals with. God deals with the lowly. That's the kind of people, if you read through the scripture, you'll find out that every one of these examples in Hebrews 11, you'll find out was somebody that got real down low. Oh, Moses. Moses got his ball built up to where he thought he was somebody and thought he could do it, but God sent him out there in the desert to find out, to humble himself, to get him to a place till he realized, oh, my life is a ruin. What have I done? All the things that I tried to do myself, now I'm a murderer. Now I've done everything. I tried to live up to the standard that my mama gave me. I tried to live up to what she said that I would be the deliverer, and now I made a ruin of it all. And God got him to a place where he realized he wasn't nothing, and then he finally turned aside and saw the burning bush. Moses, what was Moses when he came to the burning bush? He was full of self-doubt. I can't do it. Let Aaron do it instead of me. Let somebody else do it. I can't talk right. How can I preach? How is anybody going to listen to me? Nobody's going to listen to me. I need something, and that's the kind of person that God can use. He was full of self-doubt, and he couldn't talk right. And David, oh, you look at David. He was the bottom of the list of his brothers, the bottom of the list of all his family. Even his daddy didn't think that he would make a good candidate for Samuel to even talk to. He was the bottom of the list. Oh, but that's somebody that God can use as the bottom of the list. And if you're the bottom of the list tonight, that's what God is looking for. You're a candidate for God to use you if you're the bottom of the list. He was the outcast. He was the one always getting in trouble. Brother Branham would say he come up with a little raisin pie for his brothers, and his brothers were saying, "What, you're here just to start trouble?" But David, with faith, knew that he could conquer Goliath because he had seen God fight his battles before. Because God had brought him to a place, allowed him to come to a place where he had to rely on God. How is a little ruddy boy on the just running around with a, as Brother Bram will say, the weakest, the worst kind of a weapon that you could try to use. How is he going to kill a lion or a bear? How is he going to kill a big old giant of a man with the weakest weapon, the weakest little child, the weakest, nothing to boast of himself? And you all, that's what God wants to use tonight, is the weakest and the worst and the outcast, the one that's full of self-doubt. That's the one that God can get a hold of. Gideon, that was, he expressed his weakness and he asked God over and over, give him signs of confirmation until God defeated the enemy with just a band of 300 against the enemy. And Joseph, oh, you look at Joseph and all these others, you can read through the Bible and find all these examples of people that when their own self, they began to realize that they were nothing. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers and thrown in prison, and it was down there in the bowels of that prison that he began to realize that he needed God. Oh, God can't use your strength. God can't use your strength. But he can use our weakness. Because he wants somebody who will put their trust in him. Oh, God wants somebody tonight to put their trust in him. Just to put all their trust in him. Just cast everything on him. When you get to a place where you realize, I can't go any further. I can't trust the doctor. What's the doctor going to do for your cancer? What's the doctor going to do for your mental problems? What's the psychologist going to do for all your mental battles? I'll tell you, there's somebody that can help you with your mental battles and your cancer and your problems. And that's God. And when the tree of knowledge and evil, good and evil runs out, jump on over into that tree of life. And you'll find that when you're in your midst of all your weakness, there's somebody that can use that strength and weakness and give you some strength. That's what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord and lean not unto thy own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Oh, we're talking about in all thy ways. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Not myself, not my own situation. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Brother Bram said, there's so many of us likes to testify or likes to think that we're insufficient. And therefore, we make that an excuse. I have no education. I have no ability. I'm unable to do this. And if you keep that up and do that in that way, keep going like that, then you can't mount to anything. He said, but the very thing that we make excuses by our weaknesses, God uses that very thing to tackle the job with. Oh, Samson got to a place one time where he was surrounded by 1,000 Philistines, and he looked down and the weakest little thing. You see, you look at the movies and think of Samson with his great big muscles, but he was a little weak, scrawny man. Oh, God will take a little weak little shrimp with a little weak little weapon, reach down there and pick up old crumbling jawbone of a donkey, pick up the weakest thing like David with the weakest weapon. That's when God can get a hold of you and his power can be expressed in you. And I'm so proud this afternoon to say that I'm nothing without my God. I'm nothing without Jesus. I'm so proud to say that tonight. That's my confession, that I ain't nothing without him, and everything that I have and everything that I am and everything I ever hope to be is because of Jesus Christ. I wouldn't have nothing to preach without God. I wouldn't have nothing to live for without Jesus. Jesus is my everything. Oh, that should be your confession. That should be every believer's confession tonight, that you ain't nothing without God. I'm so proud to say that I'm nothing without this message. Without this message, I would have nothing to preach and I have nothing to say. Everything that I have and everything that I am is because of Jesus. I couldn't. How could you live without him? How could you face this old sinful world, going into Walmart and all the places where people are dressed horribly and not living right, and on every hand it's like the filth of the world? How could you make it through day-to-day activities without God? How could you do anything without God? How could you be sane in this old sinful world without God, where people don't know whether they're male or female or nothing? How could you do anything without God? I couldn't worship without God. I couldn't preach without God. He can use us, Brother Branham said, when we're weak, when we're rejected, when we're needy. That's the reason why that he chooses us.
because we're in that condition. Psalm chapter 55 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. What confidence we've got that when you get to a place where you just beyond all hope, just throw your burdens on him. Because that's what he wants us to do. Just cast everything over on him and he'll make it work out. He'll work out that problem in your job, that problem with your family. And listen, I think we can all look back at our lives and remember all the times where God came on the scene in our weakest moment. And when we were praying at night and didn't even know how to pray, so we just began to call out to God and God come down and move on the scene. And it was in that weakest moment, the weakest hour, that's when God moved on the scene for you. Oh, surely we've all got that kind of a testimony we can look back. And right now, God, maybe you're in that same kind of a situation where you're in your weakest moment. Maybe now you're like Job on the ash heap and you need God to come on the scene and touch you. But that's when God can use you. Brother Bram said, we find out those people who are the weakest and they're rejected by the outside world is God's hero. So don't ever try to be great or work up something within yourself or be strong within yourself. Why? Because it's all about him. It's all about him. It ain't about the preacher behind the pulpit. Oh, if we get away from looking at the preacher and trying to be like the preacher and trying to get good graces of the preacher. It ain't about the preacher. It ain't even about Brother Branham. Brother Branham said, I got to decrease so that he can increase. John the Baptist said that. It's not about looking at a man. It's looking at Jesus Christ. It's all about him. Oh, we might have a great church. We might have great singing and great events and great people and great activities. But we are nothing without him. We're nothing without him. Don't desire anything that can make you puffed up, Brother Ram said. Brother Ram said, they said to me not long ago, said, Brother Ram said, we just received the Holy Ghost. Shall we now seek for gifts for our ministry? And I said, don't do it. Oh, you think what he's talking about? Everybody wants some gifts so that they can say that they got discernment, so that they can poke into people's lives and say, put people into a position of fear. And they want to have a gift so that people look at them and say, wow, you spoke in tongues. And I'm not saying all the time. I'm saying that because God will use gifts. But sometimes people get lifted up within themselves and they'll say, look at the gift that I have that God has given me. Look at what Brother Brown was saying. He said, don't seek gifts. Because just let it alone. Because why? Because we don't want to become a stuffed shirt. We don't just want to become lifted up within ourselves. In other words, what he's saying is if there's anything that's going to make you puffed up within yourself or make you think that you're better than somebody else or lift yourself up, just stay as far away from that as possible. Because I want to be little and Brother Branham wanted to be little and Jesus Christ was a little man and everybody that made anything, was worth anything in the Bible was little. Little people. God could do something with somebody that's little. I thank God that the body of Christ is made up of little, small people without some kind of a heart hierarchy that we can look down on one another and say, look how much greater than I am than you. I was thinking about the Nicolaitan doctrine that Brother Bram preached so hard against. And you look over it like the Catholic Church and they got seven levels from deacons, priests, bishops, archbishops, cardinals, pope, all the way up. Levels. Lots of opportunities for people to look up and look down. But I thank God that in Christ we're all the same. Everybody has an opportunity to get to God. You don't have to go through any man. You don't have to look at no man. You can have your own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And a little child on their knees can get the same results as a minister that's been preaching the gospel for 40 or 50 years. Because we all have the same opportunity to come to God. There ain't no levels in Christ Jesus. In Romans chapter 2, it says, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. Aren't you glad this afternoon that God doesn't respect people with money more, people that don't have money more? He doesn't respect this one more or this one. The way to please God is to have faith, and you can all have an opportunity to believe God and have faith and please him. Nobody gets special treatment in Christ. Nobody has the right to look down on anybody else. Brother Bram said, I said, don't seek nothing. God's got anything for you. He'll give it to you. See, and just let him take care of the. Oh, thank God that if you want something in Christ, just take a step back and let God give it to you. If you want something, let God give. If you want a position in church, let God give it to you. Let God do it. And Brother Raymond said, if there's a position, well, this might be my note. Sometimes it's hard for me to tell on my note. If there's a position for you, you don't have to work yourself into it. God will give it to you. That's why in Luke chapter 14 he says, but when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit and meet with thee. Now look now, he's saying, then thou shalt have worship. And you can't have worship if you put your hand to anything that got you into that situation. Listen, a minister that's done everything they can to get behind the pulpit and put themselves into that place, you can't really worship the way that you can if God puts you behind the pulpit. A deacon ain't going to be able to worship in their position if they put themselves into that role. But if a man is put into that role because God ordained and moved them into that spot, then you can have real worship. When it's God that places you where you need to be, then you can have real worship. Why? Because you got liberty. You got liberty to know that it wasn't you that did it, that God called you, and God is the one that placed you, and God is the one that put you, and you didn't elevate yourself, but God puts you where you need to be. I thank God tonight that he called me, and it wasn't myself that called me. It wasn't myself that had anything to do with it, but he's the one that called me. I thank God that he's the one that sealed me, and I didn't seal myself. I could have that same testimony that Noah did in the ark, that I didn't shut the door on my life. I didn't shut the door with God sealed up inside of me and place him in my heart, but it was God that did it. He's the one that delivered me. I couldn't deliver myself. I had nothing to do with it. Because why? When you're big, God can't use you. When you're big, God can't use you. When you make yourself big, when you put yourself in a place, when you try to make, but when you're little, God can work. Brother Ram said, when they feel like that they can't, they haven't got nothing, that's when God can get a hold of them and do something with them. But when we're thinking that we're able to do it, then God can't use us because we're wanting to do it ourselves. Oh, to think about that. When we think that we're real big, we're ready for the challenge, I can do it, that's when God can't use you. God cannot use any man that thinks that they can do it of their own self. He can't use any person that thinks that when their own self, that they can rise above the supernatural and just do it of their own self. He can't do it. My trust tonight is in the Lord. My trust is not in my own abilities or on my own thinking. My trust is in what God said in his word. Psalm chapter 20 said, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. The 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says, in such trust that we through Christ to God, we're not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Oh, that's when you can have real worship, to know that you didn't bring it. Oh, when they got on the other side of that Red Sea crossing, then they could really get their tambourines out and begin to worship, because they knew, they recognized that God had come on the scene and destroyed the Egyptians. God had come on the scene, and he was the one that did the work. He had come with the pillar of fire, the vindication of his power, and he had wrought a great deliverance in them. And God wants you to recognize your insufficiency, Brother Branham said, so that you'll put all of your trust on him. If we just listen to the call of God, that's the very thing that God wants us to get into, that kind of a shape, so he can. Amen. It's the weak that God wants. Yeah. I think that's such a great statement tonight, that God wants you to be weak. Yeah. If you can realize that if you're weak tonight, that's what God wants. Yeah. God wants to see somebody recognizing their weakness. He wants somebody to realize their weakness and their insufficiency. He said, so long as we're trying in ourselves and depending on our own abilities and so forth, why? We'll do nothing. But when we get to a place where we know we're nothing,
then God can use us. Oh, to think about that, that God wants the poor. He wants the backwards. He wants the one that can't talk like Moses thought he couldn't. He wants the outcast. He wants those broken vessels that the world thinks are good for nothing. God wants weak preachers. Preachers, they get to a place where they just they realize, hey, I can't do it of my own self. God wants weak singers and musicians. A singer that realizes, I don't know how to sing this right, to rely on God. God don't want somebody that's all trained with notes and things and knows that from an intellectual standpoint how to do something. He wants somebody to rely on God to bring the Holy Spirit and set an atmosphere in a church of praise and worship. God wants people that have to trust in Him for everything. That's what God wants tonight. God wants somebody that'll trust Him for everything. For everything. To put food on your table, to put you in the right kind of a job, for your family, for your home, to get us out of this old sinful world. Wow. And Brother Bram will say, he said, if you want to be one of God's heroes, like it's listed there in Hebrews chapter 11, all that hall of Hebrews of Abel, heroes of Abel and Noah and Shamgar and Jephthah and all Gideon and all the ones that are listed there, if you want to be one of those heroes, you've got to master any thought that you can do it. Now to think of that tonight, you got to master any thought that you can do it. Any thought that I can do it. Oh, we start thinking, well, I understand all these doctrines and things. Oh, time to get low. Time to get real little. Because when we start to think that we can do anything of ourselves, that's when God can't use us. He said there's one thing that we've got to master if we expect to fulfill God's desire in our life. That is, we have to master the thought of human ability. If we ever get to a spot where we think that we can do it with our own intelligence and our own abilities, we've got to master that in such a way that we can get rid of the thing and lay it aside so that God can use us. Amen. Oh, let's take a step back tonight and consider what he's talking about. He's talking about bringing us to perfection. Amen. That they without us cannot be made perfect. And if I want to be perfect, I think all of us, that's our desire tonight, is to be perfect, perfect in Christ, molded up into the place where we're in unity of thinking and unity of living and unity of just in one accord with exactly what His Word says we should be. If we want to get to that place, we've got to empty out of our own thoughts and our own ideas and realize our own weakness and just present our weakness to Him so that He can perfect his strength in us through our weakness. We got to lay aside all of our self-confidence, lay aside all of our own works and lay aside all of our own abilities and just surrender everything to Him. That's what God wants to see. We cannot use one ability. That's what Brother Brown said. Not one ability. We've got to make a complete surrender. And to come to God, you've got to surrender to Him, both soul, body, and spirit, and everything that you are has to be surrendered to God in order that He can work His will in you and in me. He said, that's hard, I know. Because we're always wanting to put our part in. Yep. Something that we know, you know, that we want to do it. Right. We say, I just know it should be done this way. But as long as you're doing it that way, it's going to be wrong. And right. God will never use that effort. Nope. Right. I'm reading here in 1 Samuel chapter 2. He said, He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. Oh, that's the kind of person that God can use. Somebody that's down in the dust. A little beggar on a dunghill. Somebody on an ash heap. Somebody in their most weak hour. He'll take them and raise them up to set them among princes. He said, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of His saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. We should be resting tonight. We should be resting on God alone. In Jeremiah chapter 17, he said, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is.
I thank God tonight that we've got a God that we can trust. We can look back at that Hebrews 11, the hall of heroes, and see all these examples of people that trusted in God, that when they put their faith in God, that God come on the scene and fulfill their trust, vindicated it. And Brother Bram said, when we are expecting, saying, this guy, he's a great person, this is a great person, I'll just lean on him, that displeases God when you do that. We must lean upon God and God alone. We mustn't trust the ability of ourselves or any man. We must completely yield to God, because it's God that makes us good. God is the one that makes us good. It's God that makes us usable. It's God that makes us anything. How could we amount to anything without God? God is the one that we depend on. Brother Evans said, no ability, I don't care whose it is, will never be usable in the sight of God. God has to get all of our abilities out of us before he can achieve his purpose. Oh, I thank God tonight that he's looking for nobodies. He's looking for some nobody, some poor, weak vessel that's maybe at the end of their rope. Maybe their husband ain't living right or their wife ain't living right, and you just are at the end of your rope and you don't know what to do. Oh, that's when God can come on the scene for you and do something to your life. History proves, Brother Brown said, does now proves that God always chooses the nobodies to become his somebodies. I thank God that that's what God is looking for tonight, that God will take the person that ain't nothing, that's nothing, that he can do something. He'll take somebody like Rahab with all of her broken life, her shattered life, like a pot that's been broken, and he'll take that kind of a life and put it back together. He'll take somebody like that woman of Samaria that everybody looks at like some kind of a mixed breed, a mixed person, that everybody laughed at and said they didn't want to have any fellowship. They wouldn't even come dip water out of that same well with her. But that's the kind of person. Oh, you think about that woman at the well that had all the history, all the five husbands that she had. And maybe a lot of people in the message today would scoff at somebody like that. But that's the kind of person that Jesus got a hold of and he could use. And she went into the city testifying, come see a man. Ruth, that how all that horrible lineage of Moabite that Brother Branham was saying is like a hair a biscuit, a gaggy thing, and God could get a hold of her that where she'd lay at the feet of Boaz and say, cover me over. I guess that's the kind of person that God can use. He said, here's something to console us. Here's something that encourages us. Out of weakness and humility, God chooses the people to build his kingdom out of. If we ever get to heaven, if we ever stand in the presence of God with his church, we'll stand in a bunch of people that's been weak and rejected and cast out by the world and know and nothings. All to think that when we get over on the other side, we'll be standing arm in arm with a lot of misfits, a lot of nobodies, a lot of people that the world said didn't amount to nothing. Because that's what God can do. That's where God can manifest his strength. It's through the unpopular and the don't fit ins. And oh, I think that should be encouraging to the young people when you're in school and it doesn't look like you fit in with any kind of a group. You don't fit in with the jocks and you don't fit in with the popular crowd and you don't fit in with this crowd. But that's the kind of person that God wants to be able to use. Oh, how many of us can look back in our life and think how we were like David and like all these people that we read about where we didn't fit in and everybody would mock us and we just didn't fit in anywhere. But then we found Jesus, and we find a place where we could fit in, where we found out that God was looking for the misfits. He was looking for the unpopular and the rejects. I thank God for a God like that, that God can get a hold of a reject that nobody wanted, that everybody looked down on, and God can do something with us. He said that's God's opportunity. That's God's way of getting to us, is when we're weak. We get something then. Now, this encourages, of course, because God's whole kingdom is built out of these kind of people. Amen. Oh, thank God that if you're a nothing tonight, you're something to God. Amen. If you're a nobody, you're something to God. Amen. Oh, to think now, if you're nothing, that you have value to God. You think about these little simple sayings that like your soul is worth 10,000 worlds. That means you got value. Amen. No matter what situation you are in life tonight, your soul is valuable to God. Amen. You know, I'd be happy. I think it would be a great big thing if my soul was worth one earth. I think it would be a great big thing if my soul was worth a whole solar system. That to me would be a great thing. But God, Brother Branham just magnified it on out. Your soul is worth 10,000 worlds. Take one of these earths, and there's 10,000 of them. That's how valuable your soul is to God. Also, you might be a little Rahab. You might be a little somebody that's just in your most weakest hour, but that's God. Oh, you might be just as filthy as that little possum that came crawling up on Brother Brown's step. Yeah, right. You might be as in a bad shape as that little fish that Brother Brown looked at that had his stomach out of his, falling out of his gills. But God come on the scene and he spoke through that little man and said, little fishy, I give you back your life. And God showed that he had respect for something that the world looked like would just cast aside. Nobody would turn or take a second look at that little fish laying there in the water. But God saw value in that thing. We need God. We need God tonight, and God wants you. You know, we'll just keep going for just a few more minutes. Maybe we'll close a little bit early tonight. The devil's trap is when to think that you don't need God anymore. That's the devil's big trap. To get you a place to where you think you don't need God. To get you a place where you think you're so puffed up and all the things that you know about and you're just filled up. Now listen to what Brother Ram said. He said, when you don't think you need God, you're in the devil's territory. In Revelation chapter 3, it gives us this warning that of this age and Laodicea, because thou sayest I am rich and increased with goods. I've got all this money. I've got a great big car out in the church parking lot. I got all this luxuries. I got a sunroof and I got heated seats. And I got, or maybe nowadays they got the cooling seats too. I didn't even know that was a thing until recently, that you can have not just heated seats, but cooling seats. Well, that's what the Bible is talking about when it says, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. We get to a place where we think we don't need nothing. We just sit and we go home and we turn on the Netflix or whatever, or turn on your pastimes, and we get to a place where we don't read our Bible anymore. And that's where the devil's got you. He got you to a place where you just prop your feet up and you can lay back in your massage chair and let it vibrate you with a shiatsu massage, and you don't need nothing anymore. You can go to your chiropractor and get a good massage after you worked all day, and you get to a place in your mind where you think, well, this is all right. I'm a good American citizen. I'm a good Laodicean. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Why? Because no matter how much money and popularity and maybe even power, you got power in your community, power in your church, it don't matter if you don't have Jesus. Oh, you see how the devil will get you hit. The devil, I see y'all laughing. Y'all gonna get me distracted. If the devil can't get you on this side, he'll push you off this side. He'll push you off one side or the other. God wants us to have balance. Well, the devil will make you think, well, I've got all this knowledge on one side. I got all this intellectual understanding on one side. Or on the other side, he'll make you think, well, I've got anointing. I've got signs and wonders following. I've got this anointing and no word to back it up. No, I don't understand. He'll get you off on one of those two sides. And he said, some of us build it up upon intellectual conception. And they say, oh, this know-it-all, this man's a trained scholar, we should train our people and school them. And then on the other side bases it upon some sensation of movement or shaking and crying and shouting and dancing in the spirit or something, some emotional outward work. And that, he said, that's just as bad as the education. Now, why is it bad on either side? Because both of them are saying, I got to a place now where I don't need nothing. I don't need, one says I don't need teaching, and one says I don't need an anointing. They're both wrong, because they both, oh, but if we can get right down the middle of the road to humble ourselves and get so small until we realize, no matter what situation I am in my life, no matter where I am in my walk, I always need more of God. He said, the thing of it is, having nothing that you can depend on in your own self or anything that you can do just to complete total surrender of your weaknesses unto God and say, here I am. Have nothing, no ability that you can trust in. Right, right. He said some people, as soon as they become Christians, they become arrogant. When they're just taking a vice versa of the path, they're going backwards instead of forward. The more you can get out of yourself, the more room you've got for the Holy Spirit to come in. So stay humble. Get real small. What does that mean in practice? I'm talking about practical matters tonight. I'm talking about when we're talking to one another. Just get real small and say, maybe the other person can have something that I need tonight. Maybe the other person that I'm talking to has something that'll help me. Get real humble in your walk. Keep your eyes right on him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Oh, will you get to a place... When you get to a place where you think, I'm doing all right, I'm walking real good, oh, be careful. Because you always just want to be real humble and walk humbly. Amen. He was talking about Paul. He said, man, Paul was trained. He could speak nearly any language. He was brought up under Gamaliel. He was a great fella, and had great authority, and he was smart. He had power in his community, and people listened to him. And when he went chasing down the Christians of that day, of course, it scared everybody because of the power and the authority that he had. Oh, but you got to lay down all that stuff. You got to lay aside all of your power and your. He said his father had given him a great education. He learned all the psychology and learned all the different things. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians, I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Right. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. Oh, to think what a testimony that was for Paul to say that. I had all this background that I could have used, but I came determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ in you. I want to see nothing but Jesus Christ manifested in you. It doesn't matter how much money you can give me or how much popularity you can give me or how much power you can lift me up so that I can have, but to have that kind of confession that I just want to see Jesus Christ in you. That was Paul's confession. And Brother Branham said, I'm determined to know nothing about your abilities. I know that there's nothing in you, and I'm only determined to know one thing that I see in you. That's Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. The crucified Savior among you. That's all I'm going to recognize. And Paul will go on to say, he said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Right. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, right, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Oh, thank God that the first church age started out with a man that didn't come with a lot of relying on all the intellectual understanding, but he came preaching a gospel that he knew that God would back up, and that's how he came preaching it, that he was preaching in the power and the demonstration of the Spirit, not just a lot of whiteboards and not just a lot of diagrams and drawing and charts and things, but he was preaching a gospel that God would come behind it and back up with power and demonstration. That's how it's got to be preached. And that's how it's going to be preached, if you preach it in weakness and humility and love for the people, not trying to build ourselves up, not with psychology or worldly wisdom, and not from the tree of knowledge, but laying down everything of ourselves. He said the reason he was fearing, not because he was scared of anything, but he was scared he would displease God in some way, that he'd get his own ability mixed up into it, something that he'd learned. That he was telling them that I didn't come to you with these excellency of speech. I come to you in a fear that I would come that way. But I come to you knowing nothing but Christ and him crucified. And we'll stop on that tonight as the musicians come forward. He come knowing nothing but Christ and him crucified. Oh, if we could empty out of ourselves and our own ideas until we get to a place till we recognize that we're just so insufficient, that we need God, that we need more of him, that we need God to come on the scene so that we can see nothing. I don't want to see any of my own self and my own ideas or my own background. I just want to see Christ manifest in me. I want to see Christ in the church, Christ in his people. I believe that should be all of our testimony here tonight. To see Christ. That's why we sing that song as the minister comes out. That we want to see him. Because it's all about Christ. You love him tonight. Let's stand to our feet and just worship him. Oh, when God does it and not ourselves, then we've got a reason to worship. When God moves on the scene, we've got a reason to worship God. Because he did it. Aren't you glad he's the one that did it, that saved you and delivered you and brought you out of bondage? He's the one that did it. And not we ourselves. He's the one that did it. Let's worship.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, and no more tears in the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness nor pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Amen. You love him tonight.
Amen.
Do you have any announcements to make? Well, on that, we'll just be dismissed. And God go with you. Let's pray. Lord God, we're so grateful tonight for your grace to us and for your presence here with us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your spirit, Lord Jesus, and for your word that you've given unto us. I pray, Lord, that you'll just go with your people as they go to different ways. Watch them on the road and keep them safe, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that, Lord, you'll just on the way home tonight, let these words echo in their heart, Lord, that they'll think upon you, Lord, and their walk will continue to draw closer to you, Lord Jesus, until we can't see nothing of ourselves, and Lord, till we just recognize that our insufficiencies and recognize that our insufficiencies is what you want to see. That's the kind of person that you can deal with, somebody that can't do it on their own. We thank you, Lord, for these things. Grant it, Lord, that you'll go with your people in your name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
When he takes me by